You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah. What are you gonna Listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe. It simply means, so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, I hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope that the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But if it wasn't, and it had to be done, it must be done, you got to do it, you did it. Because that's why we love you and appreciate you, because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And we respect you for that. But if you didn't have to, I know you stayed indoors. I know you stayed safe. And if you did go out, you had your mask with you and you had gloves with you if you needed them. And you just would, you maintained those social distances. So we, you know, because believe me, we got to be here. We have to protect ourselves. We got to increase and boost our immune systems. Because, I mean, it could be a relative that infects you with the coronavirus. It could be somebody loving and dear to you. And they didn't mean it. It's just that maybe they were exposed and didn't know it. Maybe they were asymptomatic. So we got to make sure we cover all bases to maintain our health so we can be here in this struggle. Maintain our health. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page is podcast. Click on that, and there will be African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other program we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, and I want to thank Brother Elliot for sending me the lineup, because the one I had was just so written on, I was having trouble keeping track. So here we go. This program, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., African Perspectives. On Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Wahad Ahmed. And then right after that, it's Black Therapy Central with host Dr. Cambone. I'm going to make sure so I don't butcher her name. I got to get it right. But she was on Dr. Rogers' program about a couple of weeks ago, Dr. Cambone. And she's a therapist. So every Monday starting tonight at 8 p.m. from 8 to 9. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations every first and third Monday of the month. The first and third Monday of the month, Conversation Reparation with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Thursdays, after 7, Black Reality Think Tank after 7. Young people are millennials having a program after 7 on Thursday from 7 p.m. to 9, after 7. Friday, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. If it's 8 p.m. in Eastern Time, you know it is time for an awakening on Friday. Saturday, from 4 to 6, Black Reality Think Tank, Sister Talk from 4 to 6. And then from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. The Sankofa Elders Council with Brother Alfonso Watkins. And then on Sunday, if it's 7 p.m. on Sunday, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And there's possibly some more program upcoming, and we'll just keep you posted. I want to thank Brother Elliot for that. So, We Buy Black. We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. It's the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. It's WeBuyBlack.com. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bamani Taimba. I believe he will be rescheduling these trips that are here. So I'm not even going to announce them. But what I'd like for you to do is go to his website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, or give him a call at 414-931-9429, 414-931-9429, Brother Bamani Taimba. And he's been taking brothers and sisters to the motherland for many years. And so if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Habesha. No, excuse me. Before I get to Habesha Incorporated. Renoko Rashidi. Just talked to Renoko. In fact, good news for the listeners. I got Brother Renoko coming on the program next week, Friday. Baba Renoko will be on next week, Friday. And then the following Friday is Baba Baruti. So I have two of my best friends, two of my good brothers in this struggle to elevate the consciousness of African people. The next two Fridays, Friday, August 7th, Baba Renoko. Friday, August 14th, Baba Baruti. And I'm very honored and pleased. And hopefully, fingers crossed that nothing happens. So, Brother Renoko's trip, and we'll talk about that, is January 21st through February 4th next year, going to Uganda and Rwanda. Go to his website, drrenoko.com, drrenoko.com. And then another trip that he has coming later in the year, August 1st to August 14th, going to Kemet. The Egyptians are going to Kemet. Baba Renoko. Habesha, HabeshaIncorporated.org. Go to HabeshaIncorporated.org and support what those brothers and sisters are doing. They are doing the work. They got the Kashi Project over in Ghana. They are doing the work. The buildings are being put up as we speak. They still need funding. They still need funding. It's a great thing. They have raised over $125,000, but they need $120,000 more. So, brothers and sisters, go to HabeshaIncorporated.org and support what the brothers and sisters are doing. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia, give her a call if you are looking for books, postcards, trading cards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, any and all those good things. Give her a call at 404-346-3263, 404-346-3263, the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Her store hours are Monday through Saturday from 12 to 7, and then on Sunday from 12 to 5. Okay? And then, of course, there's the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. Me and my good brother Jeremiah Kamara, on last week, Thursday, the day before our interview, or our program on Friday, went to the Black Dot, and Brother Kazimde Ajamu's got it laid out. In fact, what we're going to do is have a screening of the documentary Holy Hierarchy, The Religious Roots of White Supremacy, of White Racism in America. So check out the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. He's got, there's a lot of stuff he's got there. It's really nice. That coffee bar is telling you, I love Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore. Because you know why? There's light in the black dot. That's for sure. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, located here in the West End area of Atlanta on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard, right across the street from Soul Vegetarian, right up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna and the West End Mall. So it's right there, right on Ralph David Abernathy. Healthy Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. They also have We Buy Black products. They have the laundry detergent and all kinds of other stuff there. They also have Afroletics. That's the athletic wear this brother created, very high quality with African themes. The Zulus, the Dogon Starseed, the Omex, you know, and the Herus. So check that out with Dada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. Oh, let me give you their number at 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. Us lifting up the economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Us lifting us, the Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night on Blog Talk Radio at 9 p.m. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win, every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Or call the number to listen or to comment. 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us lifting us. Ulu. Sanjay Dash Haidi, my sister Gabrielle Herrera, is doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haidi in the rural area. Definitely deserves to be supported. You should just go on to Sanjay Dash Haidi and look at what she's doing. Sanjay-Iedi.org. Sonjay-Ayiti.org. Sanjay-Iedi. Baba Baruti, Akaban Institute. Please make your check or money order out to Akaban Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's Akaban Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. If you want to use Cash App or PayPal, use the dollar sign, YAAM, and then BARUTI. Also, too, they are having their monthly, this is African-centered nation building, African-centered nation building. It's going to be presented by Baba Baruti. And with questions to answer, it is Saturday, August 8th. Next week, Saturday, August 8th, from 12 noon to 2. It's an online program. You pay $10 donation and $5 for the younger folks. African-centered nation building. And then the sisters, Sister Yah, Mama Yah, Yah. The topic is resisting the horrification of African women. Resisting the horror, the hoification of African women. That's going to be Saturday, August 8th, from 4 to 6 p.m. Same thing applies. $10 donation, $5 for younger folks. And that is next week, Saturday. I'm going to give you some of the things that are going to be going on next month, because before I read the NYA Say Some, because once I go to the NYA Say Some, I'm going to do something else. But I want to talk to you about the things that are going on throughout. I mean, I'm talking about a lot of stuff. Right away, this Saturday, African Independence Day Organizing Committee, the Urban Shamans Productions presents 16th Annual African Independence Day Ma'at Celebration from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. this Saturday. Culture is our immune system. Culture is our immune system. Virtual Zoom broadcast, and it's going to be live. Special guest performances, children pavilion presentations, award presentations, and keynote speakers. Virtual African Marketplace. African Independence.org, African Independence Day, AfricanIndependenceDay.org. For more information, contact AfricanIndependenceDay@gmail.com. And the number to call is 267-521-1544. 267-521-1544. In COBRA, National Coalition for Blacks Reparations in America, 31st Annual National Convention online, on virtual. That is this Saturday, this Friday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the 30th, 31st, and the 1st. COVID-19 and reparations, creating federal, state, and city reparations commissions. And for more information and to register, go to incobraonline.org. N-C-O-B-R-A, online.org. The RBG Centennial Conference. The stage is set Saturday and Sunday, August 8th and 9th. 50 virtual workshops, 70 speakers, live music, and more. Up you mighty race, you can accomplish what you will. For more information, go to rbgcentennial.com. RBG Centennial, C-E-N-T-E-N-N-I-A-N-I-A-L. rbgcentennial.com. Kuchisakalia Incorporated and United Front proudly presents 100 Years in the Whirlwind, the official 2020 Black August Virtual International Conference, August 14th, 15th, and 16th. August 14th, 15th, and 16th is our flag's anniversary, the 100th anniversary of the red, black, and green. This once-in-a-lifetime historic three-day event will celebrate, commemorate, educate, and unify Africans from all over the globe under the banner of resistance. For more information, go to 100yearsinthewhirlwind@gmail.com. 100yearsinthewhirlwind@gmail.com. So you know how to register for the conference, and then you'll be on time and you'll be on point. Race First Rally Against White Terrorism, Police Brutality, Mass Incarceration, Exploitation, Miseducation, and Racism. Saturday, August 16th, 2 p.m. at Lafayette Square Park in Baltimore, Maryland. Race First Resistance. For more information, contact Brother Imhotep at 410-900-7527. That's 410-900-7527. Race First Rally Against White Terrorism. And then there's another one that I want to announce as well. And this is from my good brother, Ross Marvin. Much respect, Ross Marvin. The Universal Negro Improvement Association and African Communities League presents Saturday, August 15th, Garvey Day. The theme for Garvey Day, Garveyites, can we unite? That's the question. And I hope it's a resounding hell yeah. Yes, we must. This is a Zoom broadcast again. It's a free event. 100 Years of Black Government, the UNIA, and African Communities League. To register, go to www.cbpm. The letter C, B, the letter P, M.org. cbpm.org/Marcus Garvey Day. If you want more additional information, contact Brother Ross Marvin at 678-827-2276. 678-827-2276. I'll be announcing these throughout the times to make sure that you know and let others know that we're going to do this. That's right. We're going to do this. We are going to educate ourselves to the utmost. That's right. All right. The Enye Sasim. The Enye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. July 26. No matter what accomplishments you make, somebody helps you. I repeat, no matter what accomplishments you accomplish. Whatever you accomplish, okay? Somebody helped you. Althea Gibson, that great tennis player, Althea Gibson. Extreme individualism has had a devastating effect on our sense of trust, community, and cultural identity. It has become one of the most damaging self-definitions that we have accepted as a normal for ourselves. For, in it, individualized Africans make selfish choices which have no allegiance or connections to African people. The internalization of extreme individualism creates disadvantage in everyone except members of the group who perfected it and whom it, regardless of the collateral benefits to outsiders, exclusively serves. There is no nation building without family because the family is the nation. Many in African-centered scholars have reminded us that if a community cannot hold its members accountable, it is for their words. Cannot hold the members accountable for their words and actions, then it is not a community. It's not a community. It's not even a neighborhood. It's just a hood. Okay? It's just a hood. Our communalism is not the communism or socialism that Europeans misguidedly fabricated to try to soften their capitalistic exploitations of themselves and others. Exploitation of family is anathema to African communalism. Africans is first person plural. African is first person plural. There is no I without we. To say African is to say we, us. I am because we are, and because we are, therefore I am. It's not I think, therefore I am, or might makes right. Communalism is a state of mind. It is the understood relationship between a much extended family that makes no issue about whoever with clean hands eating out of the same pot. It is the expectation of love and fairness from all relationships. And receiving it as if it were expected, but unnecessary. Ashe. Affirm, I am first person plural. I am African. Affirm, I am first person plural. It is African. July 27. Power, I love this. Power is the ability to define reality and then to make others accept your definition as if it's their own. Nana Kweku Berko, Dr. Wade Nobles. If you know me, it's one of my favorite quotes. Period. It, to me, it is the most definitive definition of what power is. When people talk about power, power is money. Power is information. Power is education. Power is none of that. Power is not, that ain't power. What power is the ability to define reality and to make others accept your definition as if it's their own. But I don't like that last part. I like the other part, the beginning part, defining reality. And that's what we as African people must do, define reality and shape and fashion that reality in our own image and interests. The idea of human evolution as a cornerstone of European science began as they began to raise out of their inherent intellectual and economic mores through robbing other people of their original thought and resources. Europeans appropriated others' science and developed it as a rational weapon for asserting that their aggressions against those others were correct, responsible, and indeed necessary for the civilizing of other people. As they moved out of raw physical barbarianism, they needed objective tools to prove that their way was of organizing society, technology, work, and possessions was superior to all others. And science provided those tools. That said, since they could not prove that any of humanity originated, since they couldn't prove that any of humanity originated in Europe, they needed to overcompensate for this glaring discrepancy by proving that their late arrival on the human scene was evidence of their natural superiority. Evolutionary theory did this by making the last first and the first last. It argued that those organisms that were the strongest, most aggressive, and best adapt to their surroundings and environment were the ones who had the greatest chances for survival. In pointing out this scientific truth, they made their wanton aggressions tantamount to forward progress. Because according to the European evolutionary theory, the last to arrive is the best qualified to lead. And indeed, they were absolutely the last and by far the most violently aggressive of all who came before. Affirm, only we define the African reality. Affirm, only we define the African reality. The Inye Sesem. Daily revolutionary thought. Haven't read these in a while, and I always need to read them periodically because the importance of them, you know. These are very important pieces here. I don't know why this thing is so sensitive to my touch. It. This is what Kwame Nkrumah said in 1961 at the Speech of Freedom. You know, they took charge in 1957, the first country to throw off the shackles of colonialism. And he understood something that was very clear. It just wasn't about Ghana or any other country that followed. It was about the continent and the uniting of the continent of African people. He said, I believe strongly and sincerely that with deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture united under one federal government will emerge not just as another world block to flaunt its wealth and strength, but as a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear, or envy and suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on the hope, trust, and friendship and dedication to the good of all mankind. Some years later, he said this, if we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling among ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we had suffered heretofore. To be truly liberated, that's what we must be. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of the European thought and behavior. In order to understand the effects that Europeans have had on our ability to think victoriously, we must be able to separate our thoughts from their thoughts so as to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europe. This is a demand by an African-centered view because why? We're Africans. And because the future towards which Europeans lead us is genocide. Dr. Marimba Ani. And that's on point. I hope you guys had a good weekend. I know I did, and I really enjoyed my conversation with Brother Jeremiah Kamara. I hope you had a chance to check out the documentary. Like I said, I think it's just well done. It's on point. It's right there. If you want to know the roots of racism and the belief of the superiority of Europeans, I'm going to talk about that too, because I'm going to try to go deeper into the rabbit hole of white supremacy today. in the second hour. You know. But that's serious. And that's what we need to do. We need to go into that. So I'm looking for a piece with Baba Yasutelli. You've probably seen it. It's a piece where he is at the British he's in Britain and he's speaking to the House of Commons. Brother Yasutelli. It's I think a few years old. I'm not really sure. But sometimes I had these things bookmarked and I hit them right away. And unfortunately, sometimes I don't. You know? So I'm going to try to find that right quick for us. Because I thought I did. You know? So in the meantime, in between time, I'll continue to try to find that. Because I'm going to play that for you. Because the brother, this is the way I'll do this. Because I think this is where it's at. You know, there's a lot of stuff on race. I mean, this is a really sad situation that the world is in. It's just a really sad. And it doesn't look like there's any, doesn't look like there's going to be any resolution until we, as African people, make one for ourselves. We should never look towards anybody. You know, we should never look towards anybody to solve the problems that we have as African people. That is our responsibility. You know, it is ours. And we should never look outside of ourselves. So. Let me see here. I'm surprised. I thought I had that, you know, and I was ready to go, man. And somehow what I wanted to play this morning is just escaping me or what I did with it. And usually I, hey, if anybody knows how to get in touch with the NFAC, with anybody know how to get in touch with the NFAC, you know, please let me know because I want to see if I can get that brother on the program, you know, Grandmaster Jay. See if I can get him on the program. I know I was watching a piece and I got very annoyed by it, very annoyed because the piece was talking about, you know, Peace was talking about all of the things that were wrong with the group, that his gun ain't this ain't that, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And I'm like, bump that. You know, this brother's on. Bump that. You know. So, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Because I really wanted to find that piece. And I really wanted to play it for us. It is an outstanding piece. And I know you probably heard that one. It's going around on Facebook. It's a song. What is it? It's the Trump folks. If y'all want to hear that, this Trump thing is really getting me because it's just, it should be no way in hell that this man should get a vote from anybody. But as I was watching the news this morning, they said that he's doing good in Ohio. He's 2 points ahead. And I said, what? How can he be 2 points ahead in Ohio? As terrible as he is. I mean, you know, how can he be 2 points ahead? There's another thing I want to announce to you as well, and that is tomorrow, Tuesday, July 28th, the Gary International Black Film Festival will be showing Wattstack, one of my favorite documentaries of all time, Wattstack. If you haven't seen Wattstack, I suggest that you check it out. If you can't check it out with the Gary Film Festival, you can always go on YouTube. And I think you can watch the whole documentary on Wattstack on YouTube. It is, for me, the most phenomenal thing. 1972. It's a great year. Here my first daughter was born. It's a great year. Great music. 1972, Stack Records out of Memphis, Tennessee, goes to Los Angeles, to the Los Angeles Coliseum. 5 years after the riot in Watts. Riot was in 67. This is 72. And Stack Records had a lot of, in fact, Stack Records had my favorite group of all time, the Dramatics. The Dramatics play the opening song, What You See Is What You Get. They were on tour in Europe, so they're not a part of the documentary except the opening song. But, I mean, just great. The Staples Singers, the Bar Kays, of course, Isaac Hayes, Rufus Thomas doing the Funky Chicken, and Richard Pryor cutaways, which are outstanding. And of course, being the interviews with the people of LA, you know, talking. In fact, I contacted one of my firefighter brothers in LA because 10 years ago in 2012, it was the 40th anniversary of Wattstack. So in 2022 will be the 50th anniversary of Wattstack. So the 40th anniversary, I was on commercial radio substituting. I had a brother, had a program. I would substitute for him periodically. And so I did a program on Wattstack because we had a building at the time, the Black Firefighters building. And I was promoting, I was going to show Wattstack. Well, I did. I showed Wattstack there. But I had one of the brothers that was in the documentary. And he and I were in conversation together about the whole documentary and the things that he's doing, you know. So go to the Gary International Black Film Festival. And they have, like I said, tomorrow, Wattstack, register for it, and it's free, and you can see it. And it's great. It's great. And if you can't do that, then you can go to the YouTube and look up Wattstack. Wattstack. Wattstack, my favorite. And that's coming up. But I still can't find the brother Acitelli's address. Brother Acitelli's address to the Britain. I don't know what I did, brothers and sisters. Please forgive me, for I know not what I do sometimes, you know. And sometimes I have it down, I'm like, yeah, I got that, yeah. And sometimes it just happens where... Is that right? Somebody said... See, I love that. I love people that take care of folks. You know? Yeah. So, Somebody said they sent it to me, so I'm looking for Brother Yesitelli's address to the United Kingdom, and I don't see it. I don't see it. Like I said, I just had it. I was listening to it, but I had a lot of other stuff that I was trying to present, you know, and send to you as well. And so I was trying to make sure, because whether you heard it or not, I love what he says. I love how he presents it, you know. And so, is this it? I still don't have it. No, my brother, I didn't get it. I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'll deal with it later. Like I said, I'm going to talk more about the effects of what Europeans have done to us. And I want us to be clear. I want us to be clear. What happens with us? And I know some of us don't want us to blame anybody that, you know, why can't we do this and why can't we do that, you know? And we're our own worst enemies and all kinds of stuff like that. And not understanding what Europeans have done to us. That's why I'm so adamant about getting out, because what they have done to us, I'm sorry, y'all. I can't live with them. I can't live with the fact that they have destroyed us and destroyed our culture and made us caricatures where they constantly appropriate what we are and who we are and what we do. I'm sorry. To me, when we have 70% of our young sisters who have children where the father is not even remotely present. Well, yeah, Brother Osh, you're going to blame white folks on that? I'm blaming them for everything. Because at the root of all these problems is them. We have a caller. Caller 414-414-507. Good morning.
Good morning, Brother Oshi.
Hey, it's LaRune. What's happening, man? How you doing?
Hanging in there, man.
All right.
I'm hanging in there.
Do that.
I punched in because of what you just said, what they have done to us.
Right.
And give me a second here.
Sure.
Hey, if you go to Deuteronomy in the Bible.
Okay.
Deuteronomy 7. And then there's Deuteronomy 13. But anyway, their instruction is that their God will send them out into to lands. I think they said the lands that I deliver unto you. And you will utterly destroy those people. You will have no mercy on them. You will not marry their sons and daughters and all of this. Mm-hmm. So in the Bible, they are instructed to destroy that, to destroy anybody that's not them, not just black people.
Right. Right.
But you see what I'm saying? But
right.
That's where I think it's the basis for their attempt to dominate and control the whole world. Anyway.
Well, they do that because of the justification for them to do that is the Bible, is Christianity. And the problem I have is there are many of us who think that we can use Christianity like they're using it for our liberation.
Right.
You know? And I'm sorry, I don't see it. You know, I don't see us using Christianity for our liberation.
I don't either. I don't either. In fact, and it's well documented that because of our resistance to slavery, that they began to teach us the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You with me?
Right.
Yeah. And then other things that go with it, serve your master and all of that.
Right.
But yeah, but this Christianity that they use it to calm us down and to get us to accept our what they were doing to us. One of the first questions that they brought to black people who were in slavery is, if God didn't want you in this position, you wouldn't be in it.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that was something for us to think about. And I'm thinking there, it's kind of distorted.
Uh huh.
But it's a hard question to deny if we understand that nothing happens outside the will of God. But I think that some people will say that we're in this position because we disobey God as a punishment. But I think it's a lesson that's part of our evolution so that we will learn what happens when we are disconnected from our God, from our source,
mm-hmm.
from our ancestors, and really our mind has been separated from our spirit. And so and that generates internal conflict. And so from internal conflict, it manifests outwardly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm thinking. And so, anyway, I was just chiming in on what you were saying about
right on.
Why they're doing what they're doing to us.
Yeah,
and every time we appeal to them, and we say, you got your foot on my neck. They know that.
They know it. Yeah, yeah.
They know that.
Yeah.
He's got his foot on our neck, and we don't, and he doesn't know it.
Yeah, no.
Or they don't know.
Yeah, like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I had my foot on your neck.
Or
I'm sorry
knee.
You couldn't breathe.
Yeah, or knee.
Yeah.
With your choke holes and all that. But yeah, I think. So it's a lesson for us to learn what happens when we are disconnected from our mental and spiritual sources.
Right.
Right.
I'm going to take a break. You stay with us, man. I'm gonna, some more stuff on the other side, Brother LaRue, that we can talk about. Okay, so you stay right there with us. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives. Here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Break it down for you this way. better than this.
And downs, made a lot of bad mistakes, but we've always had some good times, and through it all, you held me down, baby, you've always held it down, oh yeah.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. You never let me go. You always stayed around.
That's right.
You stayed around.
And you've been so good to
and
me.
And it doesn't matter. I know whatever comes our way. You know, you and me, we gonna stay together.
Just wanna give you, make love to you,
love
take you with you on a rocket fly. People love it till we touch the sky.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. That was Jaheim and Let Us See. Man, love that. It's great, isn't it? Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, this program at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., African Perspectives. And then on Monday evenings at 6 p.m. from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds with Brother Jihad, followed by Black Therapy Central with Dr. Kamban. And then it's Conversation Reparations every first and third Mondays from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Thursdays, Black Reality Think Tank after 7. And then on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Then on Saturdays, Time for an Awakening, on Saturdays, Black Reality Think Tank, Sister Talk, and then followed by the Sankofa Elders Council. On Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I got that piece from Brother Yashitelli. I'm going to play it. I think it's definitely worth it. Okay. And then we're going to get off. I'm going to get off into this article, and then we're going to get off into some conversation. So let's do it.
I now look to Amoli Yashitelli to continue the case for the proposition.
Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, I have only recently come here from the United States of America. And that being the case, I cannot stand before this august body without prefacing my statement in defense of closer unity of Africa, without stating first my unconditional solidarity with President Maduro and the government and people of Venezuela, who are currently under attack, savage attack, by the declining world hegemon of the United States. I think it's absolutely necessary to say that, coming from that country, and especially looking at the fact that the United States travels the world preening, presenting itself as the guardian of democracy and the rights of the peoples around the world, where the reality is that Africans who are colonized in the United States represent at least half of the largest prison population in the world. There are more Africans in prison in the United States than there are people in Djibouti or in Equatorial Guinea. And so we find it very difficult, also recognizing that by their own estimates, it would take 228 years for the income of Africans colonized in the United States to equal that of the colonial white population. So it is absolutely necessary for me to stand here today before you expressing total opposition to the United States government terroristic actions against the people of Venezuela, with an attempt to starve the people into opposition to their government. Mr. President, brothers and sisters, comrades, it is also necessary for us to say that this question of a closer union with Africa, or between Africans, or within Africa, is not a purely academic question, despite the fact that this debate is occurring within the pinnacle of bourgeois academia. That there is a natural, historical inclination for Africa and African people to be united, which is one of the reasons I am here today. The truth of the matter is that this discussion about the unity of Africa, union of Africans, started much earlier than any incursion, as it might be characterized, of China or the Trump administration into Africa. The reality is that Africa came under assault some 600 years ago when Portugal first came and captured African people and initiated the process that would begin capitalism and would establish and consolidate the identity of Europeans in the world. It is a reality that capitalism rests upon a foundation of African slavery. Africans were first capital. And in order for this to occur and to last, it was absolutely necessary to keep African people divided so that we could not resist this horrible incursion on Africa that continues up to now. I think it's important to be able to say that. I think that we have to say that we've seen example after example by African people to unite. We've seen what used to be warring tribes in this geographical terrain that we occupy at this moment, able to achieve a sense of sameness that people refer to as nations, founded on a common economy that came from slavery and colonialism. This is the basis of the unity that we see. If there is a problem with the European Union today, it is because the foundation, the economic foundation of capital, of imperialism, is being stressed by the struggles of the oppressed peoples of the world to take back their resources from this parasite that bleeds Africa, that bleeds the world, that bleeds Afghanistan, that bleeds the people of Yemen who are dying by the thousands even as we have this discussion. This is the basis of a Brexit. It can't stand together anymore because the host is rejecting the parasite. And it's creating crisis throughout Europe and throughout the imperialist world. I think it's necessary, brothers and sisters, to say that there has been a natural trajectory by African people for closer union. We know that we're talking about having this discussion in part because in 1884-85, Europeans sat at a table in Berlin, Germany, not a single African there, and carved up Africa into the territories that we now sometimes call countries and illogically refer to as nations. Africans didn't do that. It was Europe that did that. It was Europe and imperialism that required Africa to be divided so that the resources of Africa, both human and material, could come and pave the streets in London and grow the buildings in Amsterdam and bring clean water to New York, while the streets in Sierra Leone are not paved. And the people in Sierra Leone do not have clean water. And there's no national electric grid there. It is necessary to keep Africa divided by European imperialism and by all the imperialism in order to continue to suck the resources from Africa so that cell phones could exist here, so that Steve Jobs and the others could achieve some great notoriety from the coltan that comes from Congo, where Leopold killed at least 12 to 15 million Africans in order to conquer and keep Africa in the condition it's in today. We talk about a united Africa, an African Union, because of what European imperialism has done to Africa to keep us divided. We know it's true. We saw 100 years or so ago, Marcus Garvey organized the Universal Negro Improvement Association and African Communities Leagues that stretched across the globe. More than 11 million African people everywhere were connected to this. Africa for Africans at home and abroad. That was the cry. Not Africans for Nigerians that didn't even exist until the British created in 1915. And Flora Shaw, the mistress who would become the wife of Frederick Lugard, came up with the name Nigger Area. Not this false national consciousness that has been imposed on Africans around the world, so that when the Portuguese found shrimp on West Africa and then named it for the Portuguese word for shrimp, Cameroon, it is not true that they are shrimp despite the fact that the people call themselves Cameroonians today. It is a false national consciousness. The false national consciousness that created the American Negro, that created the Black Brit, and the Afro-Swede, We are one Africa, one nation, and we must have closer union. But in order for that to happen, it has to be a revolutionary union. The Organization of African Union created on May 25th, 1963 in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, was part of an effort to circumvent efforts by Kwame Nkrumah to build a single union of African states. And instead, we come up with an Organization of African Union that codified the colonial borders that were created by Europe in 1884 and 85. We have to be able to break out of this, but it's going to take revolution in order to do this. African revolution in order to do this. African revolution that will destroy imperialism and the world economy that's responsible for the growing immiseration of the masses of people around the world. Uhuru.
Uhuru, Uhuru, that's the cry, no doubt. You know, what's interesting is that a lot of us don't understand. They think that this is, you know, just as the European wants you to believe, it's ordained by God. It's ordained by their theology. And so for many of us, that's why there are some of us who are into prosperity gospel of Creflo Dollar and Jamal Bryan and many others with big congregations and big buildings and nice cars and homes and so forth. Because that's what this society and country promotes and perpetuates. But then there's the liberation theologists, those brothers and sisters who see the Christianity to an extreme, like Brother Clegg did, Nana, and created the Shrine of the Black Madonna. And there's some others. I mean, I listened to a brother from D.C. If you are listening from the D.C. area, the Alford Street Church. I don't think it's Baptist Church, but anyway, the Alford Street Church. And so there are some of our brothers and sisters who believe that we can utilize Christian theology to liberate us. I don't subscribe to that, but you know, if there's enough brothers and sisters who do and they're in it and yet they think African centeredly and they want what we want, with the exception of trying to convert us to Christianity, because I think that's the problem with Christianity. It's a proselytizing religion, just like Islam. They seek converts. You know? Anyway, I want to read this particular piece. I haven't read anything from Your Black World in quite some time. Many of the sources I used to read back when I first started radio program, I'll be 6 years, I believe it'll be 6 years in October, that I used to read from the Final Call newspaper, the Nation of Islam's newspaper, the Final Call, and Your Black World and a few other publications. And so I haven't read from Your Black World in quite a while, but this article was interesting and stated from the 23rd from last week. Going down the rabbit hole of white supremacy. The article is by Brother Bashir Muhammad Akinyele. Brother Bashir Muhammad Akinyele. And it's a good piece because he mentioned some Caucasians I hadn't heard of, because, you know, the one that the two Caucasians that I feel that are responsible for the stratification of humanity. You got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. I'm just experiencing all kinds of problems up in this mug today, y'all. You know? Shucks. Let's see if that'll do it. If it doesn't do it, then we'll just open up the phone lines and have conversation. Just that I'm in a situation here where I'm having problems. 414-507. Good afternoon.
Hey, dude.
Hey, brother.
Hey, man. You know what I was thinking of? When you start the program, you list all the different programs and the We Buy Black and all those other things.
Sure.
Do you think that you could send that information in an email so that we could read it and print it out?
Are you talking about the information that I consistently promote at the beginning of the program, or the programs that are going to be happening in August around African liberation? Is that what you want?
That and the programs for Time of Awakening.
Ah, okay. Okay, sure.
And plus the events.
Yeah, okay. I'll see what I can do. But it looks like my, I don't know. Looks like I'm having problems. I'm having problems here trying to pull this piece up, you know.
Right.
Because it's on.
You got patience.
Huh?
You got patience for you.
Yeah, I do. I really do. I think that my patience is about to wear out right now. I'll try to do this particular piece another day. Another day. All right. Let me catch some other callers. All right. Okay. Hang on, LaRue. Thank you. All right. 646. Good afternoon.
Oh, yo, what's going on, brother?
How you doing, man? You doing all right?
I'm doing as good as one could do in America, and that ain't too good, but hey, well, hey, it is what it is, black
it
man.
It is what it is, that's right.
Yeah, man, I'm just noticing, the celebration that they had for your brother John Lewis there in Alabama, man. It was a beautiful thing. Now
yeah.
It may be that they're really going to reward him with the renaming of the George Place Bridge.
Oh, there's no doubt. Hey, listen, Jay, there's no doubt about it. I put money on it. They're going to paint that bridge, and they're going to name that bridge the John R. Lewis Memorial Bridge.
And let me tell you something. To me, that sweet baby Jesus, I will never probably ever pass do that bridge because, at some point in time, we have to be honest in regards to Negroes like John Lewis. Was he good for African people or was he bad for African people? I think it's a combination of both.
Yeah.
He done some good things.
Yeah,
and he did some things that, when it's all said and done, is not in the best interest of us as a people. Now, do I want to see any man have dogs and hoses and being beat or anything like that?
Of course not. Of course not.
But to have that happen to you so that you could be closer to your abuser shows you the mental sickness of you. You understand what I'm saying? And that's something that we as African people don't want to address and we don't want to deal with. How could you expect human and civil rights from your enemy, from someone who has shown you since they've come within your circumference that they want to kill you, that they want to do everything possible to demean you, to control you, to annihilate you, to enslave you, to just do things that are so unimaginative in one's mind. But here it is, you want to look and you want to do everything in your psyche
right.
to make it possible to be closer to that bastard to love that bastard, to forgive that bastard, to get along with that bastard, but you don't want to do the one thing you need to do, kill that bastard. See, we got to really, really look at ourselves in the mirror and ask ourselves, how much longer are we going to try to integrate with something and someone that has no respect or no regard for our humanity, for our lives, for our existence on the planet? It's just absolutely, it's absolutely madness.
Yeah, yeah. It's insanity. Jay, it's insanity because the definition is what, Jay? You know the definition. Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. We get the same result.
It's not.
But we believe, because see, in the theology, that's why I'm saying, a friend of mine, she wanted me to watch this preacher from D.C. because he's kind of African-centered, I guess, because he talks about the history of our people. In fact, in his presentation yesterday, he mentioned
the Paul Patrick
Anita. Seem like a young brother. He's at Alfred Street Church in D.C. It's in D.C. Alfred Street.com.
Yeah, what did you say?
I can't remember. Jamal Bryant is here, man. That cat is here. Jamal Bryant is here in Atlanta. He took over Eddie Long's church. After Eddie Long passed.
Right there for 1 second. What do that tell you? One pimp to the next pimp. They had to find a suitable pimp to replace a degenerate, lowlife pimp. And now they got another pork-top chicken-eating pimp to smooth the transition.
Yeah.
We sick. But go ahead, finish what you were saying.
But, so, I mean, you know, he's classic in the tradition of preaching the word, so to speak, if you will. You know, it's very captivating. You know, and but I'm sorry, I just don't see the Christian theology. Even if we paint Christ black, even if we say that, you know, just like the and I didn't know how big the number of brothers who are into black Hebrew Israelites are, you know, when they did that. And I don't know if that was them. I don't know if you've probably seen this. I've seen this on YouTube a couple of times. Some brothers marching in, purple t-shirts.
Those boys are wild, man. Yeah. I remember back in the day watching them on 42nd Street in Manhattan and 34th Street just act a fool, just act up. And it was nothing that nobody could do. The way that they talked to white folks was so entertaining that all you could do was just stand there and laugh and just listen to them with their costumes on. I mean, it's comical, man. But there's a lot of brothers, I guess, that are into that type of utter madness.
Yeah.
Because, matter of fact, their office in Manhattan, in Harlem, I live like 3 blocks away from
them. And like I said, when they mobilized, that was impressive to me. And in fact, initially I thought it was because they had the same gold and purple and gold colors as Omega Psi Phi. I was like, man, no, that ain't Omega Psi Phi, you know. And I said, who are these brothers? And they were marching in file like that. And come to find out, it was Black Hebrew Israelites. But what was surprising, the reason why I thought it was Omega Psi Phi, because there was a lot of young people. It was a lot of young people that were doing the marching, you know. But I'm willing for us to work with whoever we got to work with, you know, so that we can achieve our goal. And what is our goal? Independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. That is the ultimate goal. When people talk about it, when people talk about an end game, what is the end game?
would hope it would be to kill as many white folks as possible.
Well, if it comes to
that,
if it comes to that, and that's what you have to do, you know, I mean, you know, I'm trying to get brother Grandmaster Jay on, man, from the Not Fucking Around Coalition, you know.
Hey, let me tell you something about
the NFAC.
The
NFAC. So what are you going to tell me about the NFAC?
All I can say is I hope they're prepared to deal with whatever situation arises when white folks get sick of their bullshit. That's all I'm going to say. I'm gonna let it marinate. I'm gonna let it play out. I'm gonna see how far they're gonna be able to take their shenanigans, and what's gonna be their response when the daddy decides we gonna let shit pop the pop off. Now, if they really about it, like they trying to say they are, then they go stand there and guns are gonna go blazing, and we gonna have a nice little show that'll last for maybe an hour or two, and then we'll see what the casualties are, and after a couple of days, business will go back to usual. Well, but I'm just gonna watch it. I'm gonna be entertained by it, because I'm telling you right now, that's all it is to me, is entertainment.
Well,
it's the purest form of bullshit I've basically seen in a long time.
Okay, Jay,
but I'm
okay.
enjoying it because
okay.
somebody gotta do it.
Well, you go ahead and you somebody. Do that, and I understand what you're saying. I truly do. I understand what you're saying. Because, number one, it is not the NFAC against other Caucasian militias. It is the NFAC against the United States and the military might of the United States. It's just like when they stood in profile along a street in Louisville, Kentucky this past weekend, and there were some Caucasians who had their guns out and, you know, jackets on. There was some police officers and some barricades between them. I understand that. I understand there are some paramilitary groups that have been in formation in this country for decades. And their numbers, especially when Barack Obama was elected, those numbers swelled. They swelled, and they're still that way today. In fact, those numbers, not only have they swelled, the people are emboldened. They're emboldened by the fact that Trump was elected president. And so now for giving us, we feel, the right to protect what is ours. You know, so to me, when they responded like that, I felt great. Because they responded, because who had an idea? Number one, it was stated by the brother with the Huey P. Newton Gun Club, stating that it is his duty as a member of the Huey P. Newton Gun Club to monitor paramilitary groups, right-wing groups, and so forth. Then he says, because of that, there's a rumor out that they're going to kill some black people, some Africans, American Africans, on the 4th of July. And so that group of brothers, now, Grandmaster Jay said it himself, he was disappointed because he thought he might have 4,000 people out there. And that would have been, but I mean, the numbers that they had, and if you've seen, I'm quite sure you have, is still out there. To me, that was a great response and a needed response. Saying to you, if you shoot us at 4 p.m., we're going to shoot your ass at 4:05. So putting them on notice, you're right. No, they're not going to have the armament that the United States has or those paramilitary groups have. The kind of armament that they have that they could, you know, they can blow the world up. 414-507.
Brother OG, I like that statement when you said the definition of insanity.
Yeah, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And I think that that's how, you know, it's insane.
That's where our history comes in. Now, we might look back and say, well, we wouldn't have done that, and we wouldn't have done this, and we wouldn't have been like John Lewis and a lot of other people that were trying to go along, appeal to the conscious of the Europeans, but that had to happen so that we could learn from those lessons. And that's part of our biggest problem, is that we are not aware of our history and a lot of the events that went on back then. Black Panthers was off the chain, man.
Yeah.
SNCC and all of them. You know, we came up during those days.
Right, I know.
We saw the respect.
Well, you know, the radical element of SNCC was taken out when Kwame Ture left. Marimba Ani, she was in SNCC, and a number of other radicals. And the more accommodating, or the more kumbaya, John Lewis was put in charge of SNCC, you see. So, I mean, you know, already Kwame Ture had, you know, questioned Martin Luther King. He said, you continue to use moral persuasion on a people who have no morals. They're amoral. Europeans could give less than a rat's ass. Just like you said earlier, they know they got their foot or their knee on our neck. They know it. That Caucasian who did that to George Floyd, he knew what the hell he was doing. One could make the argument that, no, he just wanted to subdue him. He didn't really mean to kill him. But then again, yeah, he did. That's how I look at it. Because what they do and how they have done it. I'm going to catch another phone call. Hang with me, brother. 602, good afternoon.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
All right, brother. You would really have a problem now, because the Black Lives Matter movement now have pivoted towards knocking down this statue of Jesus.
I can't understand you, brother Marcus.
I'm saying,
it sounds muffled, so I really can't. Only thing I understood, you said something about the Black Lives Matter movement. You know.
Yes. They are attacking the statues at the church, you know. They have started knocking off the head of Jesus.
Yeah.
That's happening now. So maybe they've been listening to Brother Jeremiah Kamara program, but they have taken that up, you know. So
okay.
You know, and another thing too, you know, the possibility exists that you may not win it because the way you handle this pandemic.
Because of the pandemic. Brother Marcus, I'm having a hard time understanding you and following you. I appreciate it. If you can call back, maybe there might be a better connection, okay?
All right, brother.
Thank you. No, thank you. No, I heard what he says. But one thing about the Black Lives Matter movement, you know, and I think everybody understands that now that it is clear. The Black Lives Matter movement is not a movement for African people. The Black Lives Matter movement is not a liberation movement. The Black Lives Matter movement is not for self-determination or sovereignty. The Black Lives Matter movement is a particular lifestyle that it promotes. In fact, it is stated in their information. I read that about a month ago to us. We had a program on who is the Black Lives Matter movement, and not just the three sisters, and even though they're homosexual, and understand this, I could give less than a rat's ass if you're homosexual or not. To me, what's important in the African liberation movement, there is no homosexual plank. We're not advocating for homosexuality. In fact, in the African-centered movement, we're advocating for family. We're advocating for African men and African women to come together to produce children for family. We're advocating family. Now, if you are a homosexual and you want to be in the movement, you can be. But you keep that stuff to yourself. You keep that stuff to yourself. That is not something that we're going to promote. So if you don't promote it, but yet what you want to promote is the liberation and self-determination and sovereignty for African people, then we down because you African. But we're not advocating for you to, you can sleep, to me, you can sleep whoever you want. I've always said this, brothers and sisters, I've always said this, and I always will. What you do, with two consenting adults, what they do in the privacy of their own home is their business. I put emphasis on consenting adults and the privacy of your own home, because I don't want to see that shit, okay? I don't want to see it. I don't want to see two hairy-ass men kissing. I don't want to holding hands on each other's lap on the park. I don't want to see that. But if that is your business, but when you come out into the public for African people, the agenda is point blank. We're working to liberate African people. We're working to educate the minds of African people. We're working to bring into existence a worldwide African Union, Pan-Africanism, a united African states. If you down with that, you down. But the Black Lives Matter movement, and that's why you see within the Black Lives Matter movement, the anarchy that you see. I'm saying to myself, damn, how can you demonstrate every damn night and there's violence? For what? Then what is your purpose? Let's be real. Nothing happens overnight. Then what do you want them to come to the table to discuss? That's why I ain't coming to the damn table, because I ain't got not a damn thing to discuss with them. My purpose is to put something on the minds of African people and get them to think African, do African, be African, love African. That's the purpose. I don't give a damn about the United States and all of the changes that they're going through, naming this, naming. Hell, I just heard the other day, they're not even going to call when they do advertisement for houses and they talk about the so-called master bedroom. They're not even going to call that the master bedroom no more. So they try to get it. It's like I saw the other day, the Dixie Chicks. They don't call themselves Dixie no more. They're just the Chicks. So they're
Aoshi.
Yeah, go ahead, Jay.
Aoshi, you know, one of the craziest things in the world is these Negroes keep on trying to take things from white folks. You know, white folks don't like that sugar honey iced tea. And like I say, they're going to get tired of it. And once they start getting tired of it, you're going to have to man up to own it, because the only thing white folks do when they get tired of sugar honey iced tea is they start busting heads. So whereby, you know, it's not going to be the hoses and all of that no more. It's going to be, like I said earlier, gunplay. Now, all of y'all so-called revolutionaries and all of y'all so-called tough guys,
listen,
I'm telling you,
Jay,
be ready.
Jay, I'm going to tell you,
ready.
Jay, they can be ready, but I'm showing the hell in. I wouldn't lift a damn finger. I wouldn't pick up a damn pebble to fight these crackers to stay here. Are you kidding? Because they'll never act right. They'll never do right. And they said themselves just recently, yeah, we can do all of these little cosmetic things, all this symbolism without substance, but we ain't going to deal with reparations. We ain't giving these mothers no money. We're not going to restructure. We're not going to redistribute wealth. We're not doing none of that. It'll still be basically, once we get out of this damn plandemic, if you want to call it that, or pandemic, it'll be back to business as usual.
There you go.
It'll be back to the same old, same old.
That's what I don't understand with these Negroes trying to take down these so-called statues and all of this. What are you getting for it? What are you gaining for it? Because in reality,
just the idea. Just the idea. That's what you're gaining. Just the idea. You know?
Yeah. Some ideas ain't good ideas, brother. Some ideas ain't for the benefit of your liberation and for your freedom. Some ideas are not good. And unfortunately, we the type of people who at times don't know what's good for us. We think we do. We like to talk like we know what's good for us. But nah, man, some of our
let me just say it this way. You know, and if you know me, I will always put the blame where it squarely belongs, on Europeans, on Caucasians. They are the ones who put us in this madness, but we must be the ones that get us out of it. And the only way for us to do that is a serious radical change of our minds and to think victoriously and to think African. Reject everything they do. Reject it all. Reject their holidays, reject their systems, reject it all. In fact, reject their money. I was telling a friend last night, had Muammar Gaddafi, that's why I hate Barack Obama, because Barack Obama messed up Africa's big chance to start to move towards independence with Muammar Gaddafi as the head of the African Union and instituting a monetary system on the African continent based on the resources of Africa, which are there. And that currency was going to challenge the petrodollar, was going to challenge the Europeans and the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. And so they, no, we can't have that. So we're going to put this, man, you got a lot of background noise. I don't know where in the hell you are, but you got a lot of background noise. We're going to challenge the system of white, of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. And they can't have that. No. We don't want Africa to be. In fact, that's why it angers me so when Kwame Nkrumah, that's why I read that almost once or twice, almost at least once a week. That's why I read that, letting us know that when he became the leader in 1957, he didn't push for Ghana. He pushed for the United States of Africa. He pushed for African sovereignty. He pushed for African union. He pushed for African unity. That's why they had to get rid of him. Because even though you had this pseudo independence, because you had some ceremonies and this and that, but yet your currency is still tied to me. Your forms of government. Hell, y'all still wearing them damn white wigs. They still wearing them damn white ass wigs. So I'm saying, you have to, if in order for us to do what we must do as an African people, we must reject everything that the European has imposed. Let them deal with it. Like I said, to me, the guns should be to defend our right to be self-determining and independent on our soil, on the continent. I'm defending that. If I go to the continent, y'all coming, hell, my old ass will be out there swinging or whatever the hell I have to do. I fall and die, so be it. I'd rather do that. But I ain't lifting a, I ain't marching. I ain't protesting this thing. I ain't doing none of that. My focus is to help Africans change their minds about how they see themselves, how they see their community, how they see our world. Because to me, it's very clear that if Africans are going to be a viable people from this moment on for the last 80 years of this century, the 21st century, it is not going to happen through working with Caucasians. It'll only happen when Africans realize the importance of kicking to the curb all petty differences, kicking to the curb all the divisions, kicking to the curb tribalism, mysticism, ignorance, kicking all that to the curb and coming together. Now, because you are a Falanti or Igbo, Shanti, whatever you are, that's beautiful. That's good. But understand something. What you are, more importantly, is African. And if we all understood that, then the resources that we have that everybody wants, think they can't do it out, and sure in hell don't want to pay for, will be ours to put on the market at fair market value so we can live and develop and grow. Africa could literally feed the world. That's how much good arid land that we have. It's a damn shame that people are starving, living in filth and squalor. It's a damn shame how the Caucasian, what he has done. Europe is rich. Europe has beautifully paved streets, beautiful ornate buildings, money. Why? Resources of Africa. In 1884-85, when those Europeans sat at that damn table in Berlin, Germany, and carved up Africa like a damn piece of cake. I'll take this. No, I'll take that. Little tiny ass Belgium. Leopold of Belgium. You know, there's certain people, when you read our history and the devastation of one of these so-called leaders have done to African people, especially like Leopold, responsible for killing, some say 15 million, some say 10 million, who knows? But the evidence is there. They cut off hands. They cut off limbs. They killed people. They were looking for rubber and other goods. Look at the Congo. The Congo. I know I'm talking to you on this computer. I know you might have one of the latest computer watches, just like, you know, this I just gave me a throwback moment just then, because I was thinking and talking with Captain Voller, Caucasian, at the Salvation Army, right down the street from me, where I learned to play ball and have all kinds of fun, Salvation Army. I remember him talking about the cartoon, The Jetsons, probably had came out a year or two later or before, whatever. And that probably in the 1980s, this is what he said, because this is the 60s. I'm talking about the 60s. I'm talking about the early, mid 60s. Probably in 20 years, we're going to be having flying cars. Definitely maybe about the year 2000. Wow. You can't even conceive that. Okay. You know, flying cars. And of course, Dick Tracy, the cartoon character, Dick Tracy. If you remember, he had a wristwatch that he could, you know, talk to somebody and see their face. That's the reality. I don't know if you've seen the latest commercial. This damn wristwatch does it all. It is your computer on your wrist. It can monitor your heart. It can do everything. Everything. This computer on your wrist. So damn what? I could give less than a rat's ass about the gadgets and so forth, but what I do know is a lot of the things that they need to make these things happen come out of where? Come out of Africa. They come out of Africa. So I'm saying we should be in control of that. We shouldn't have little kids mining coltan, barefoot and so forth and raggedy. You know, I don't know about you, but I know that I'm tired of seeing it. I'm tired of seeing the ignorance and the devastation. I'm tired of seeing the religion of Christianity particularly, but even Islam. Because to me, all those Muslims who are African, y'all should tell those Arab Muslims where to go. Because still to damn day, they're neutering African people in Libya. And those neutered individuals would be sold to Arabs in Saudi Arabia or Qatar or Oman, whatever. So I'm fed up with it. I'm fed up with it. I love humanity. I recognize that Africa is the birthplace of humanity. I love humanity. I also recognize the first humans on the planet were African, and everybody came from that. So I don't hate nobody. But what I do hate is systems that are created, particularly systems that are created to dog out African people. I hate the system that Europeans have created. I hate it with a passion, giving themselves the top position with everybody else at a lower position, with us at the lowest position. That's why around the damn world, we have no friends, because of what the Europeans have done and the image that they have placed upon us. We have no friends. So that's some of my rant today. I hope you guys have a beautiful day. And as always, we end this program like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the MIND, but the MINE, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed day, a good day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bivohorie means our victorious destiny. With unity, brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Have a blessed day, family. Peace.